You're now listening to the third message in this series by Mac Hammond.
I want to study another wrong focus we can have, according to the Bible, by turning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "Brethren," and that includes the sistren, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I love these two verses. Man, there's so much packed in here. God says, first of all, that this is a high calling for everybody in this room. There is a high calling, a divinely appointed destiny for everybody sitting in this room. Everybody. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "It's those things that I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither has entered the heart of man." It's an awesome calling that is on your life. And that high calling is not achievable except in Christ Jesus. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a reference to the fact that He is the anointed one and imparts to you the anointing when you're rightly related to Him. And so we see that that high calling is only in Christ Jesus. You can never achieve God's divinely appointed destiny for your life except by the anointing available in Jesus. And we see the closer you get to the high calling in Christ Jesus, the more of the prize or the reward you're going to taste. There is a reward for walking in the will of God. There's a prize that goes along with achieving God's plan for your life, realizing the plan of God for your life. And we've seen in other verses that that prize or that reward is called the crown of glory, the crown of life, eternal life, everlasting life. They're all the same word. Anybody know the word? Zoe, which literally means the God kind of life. Life as God has it. You will partake of a higher quality of life. Life as God has it. The closer you walk to the high calling of God. And when you're in the perfect will of God, you're walking free of sickness and disease, free of insufficiency and lack, oppression of any sort. Are you with me this morning? And so, we see that we get to that high calling of God by pressing, or as the concordance defines that word, maximum sustainable effort. In other words, faith isn't floating around in a nether world on a little cloud and not accepting or pursuing the responsibilities that go along with the calling of God. No, it's a press. It is a maximum sustainable effort toward what? A mark or the intermediate goals and objectives that the Lord will give you, which will take you toward that high calling. Now, sometimes these intermediate goals or objectives or marks are things that come to you in your prayer time. Well, I need to get a job over here, or I need to do this or do that. Some of the marks are in the written word. Marks always come to you as a word from the Lord. Some of them are recorded in the Scripture, some by the Holy Ghost. Some marks, and if you don't know how to, direct your life in a particular way, you can use the marks that Scripture gives you. For instance, the Bible says that the chiefest of all will be what? Servant of all. So serving other people is always a mark that will orient your life toward the highest will or plan of God for you. Amen. Always. Love of God is a mark. Serving is a mark. Giving is a mark. Bible's filled with marks, and the Holy Ghost will give you some marks or goals as well. But before you can do any of this, before you can reach forth into that which lies before you can press toward any of these marks that'll take you toward the high calling of God, before you can taste of that prize or that reward, you have to forget that which is behind. Here He gives us another area not to focus our attention upon, and that is that which is past. We see why Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind. He said, look, if you don't want to count yourself as having apprehended, you got to forget the past. And people all the time are counting themselves to have apprehended. Let's talk some examples here. Well, I've gone about as far as I can go in the job market because I didn't have the educational opportunities that some people had. My family didn't have the money to send me to school. I couldn't get in college. Therefore, I've apprehended. I've gone as high as I can go in the salaried jobs that I'm able to work because I don't have the education to go any higher. Because of what has happened in their past, they have put a limit on where they can go. And sometimes this is not even conscious, you know. We're not even thinking this way. But we count ourselves to have apprehended because our attention has been given to what our natural situation is. And Paul says, if you're going to take the limits off God and be able to reach forth into that which lies before, you're going to have to forget that which is past. A lot of other examples we can use, you know. Some people would say, I was abused as a child, and I can never have a normal relationship because of that abuse. They have apprehended. Or somebody else, I had a messy divorce, a horrible divorce. I don't know if I'll ever be able to trust another person again. They have apprehended. They put a limit on their experience in God because of what happened in the past. Or somebody else, I went bankrupt. I don't know if I'll ever have the courage to step out again like that after what I've been through. They've apprehended because of what happened in the past. We could go on and on and on. But God says through the Apostle Paul, if you ever want to reach forth into that which lies before, if you ever want to make progress toward the high calling of God, improve the issues of your life, taste of the prize, you're going to have to forget that which is behind. And there are several things that fall in that category. You don't forget your past, like, you know, Holy Ghost amnesia. The word forget means to put out of mind. He's telling you, control your focus. Control what you give your attention to. And, you know, he said, don't give your attention to the temporal realm. It'll create a hard heart, an unbelieving heart, a deceived heart, a reasoning heart. Now he's saying, don't give your attention to certain things in your past. Now there's some things about your past he tells you to think about, to focus your attention on. I'll touch on that toward the end. But he says, first of all, anything that would cause you to say, I've apprehended, either consciously or subconsciously, you've got to put out of mind. Now, what would those things be? The Word tells us. And the first thing about your past that you've got to put out of mind is your sin and disobedience to God, even if it only occurred yesterday. You can't focus your attention on your sin, the mistakes that fall in the category of disobeying God. You've got to put them out of mind. And Isaiah 43 gives us a little insight as to why that is. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, God's speaking here, and he says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for your sake. No, wait a minute. It doesn't say he blotted out our transgressions for our sake, did it? For mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Now, when is he able to do that? When you come to him, according to 1 John 1:9, and you confess your sin, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. Because of the blood of Jesus, when you confess and repentance is implicit in that confession, then he forgives you and he says for his sake, he won't remember it anymore. For his sake, he puts it out of mind. He will not remember that sin anymore. For his sake. Why? Because it would cause him to relate improperly to you. And if God can't remember your sin, what business do you have remembering your sin? If you've confessed it and put it under the blood of Jesus, then get your mind off of it. Don't focus on it anymore, because what it'll do is that it will produce an unworthy heart, a condemned heart, or a guilty heart. And I run into people all of the time who can't receive the blessing of God because they don't feel worthy. They live such a horrible life before. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I did or what I used to do or how I lived. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm a pastor and it would blow you away to know how I lived. We've all done things that we are not proud of doing that we wish we hadn't done. And if we're mindful of those things, we will live under a cloud of condemnation and guilt, and it'll keep us from receiving the blessing of God because we have an underlying sense of unworthiness. Are you listening to me? And so the first thing about your past you have got to get your attention off of is how bad you blew it back when, or even if it was just yesterday. The key is if you've gone to God and you've gotten on your knees and you have confessed and asked His forgiveness and repented, then He's forgotten about it. You better forget about it too. Amen. Because if you don't, you will have a condemned heart and a guilty heart. So the first thing about your past you have to forget is your sin and your disobedience. The second thing about your past you have to forget are your failures and defeats. Once again, realizing that the most successful person you can think of had a lot of failures along the way. The only truth that is relevant to failing is that when I fall, I shall arise. Get up again. And if you're attentive to your failures, you won't get up again. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 30 said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He's saying it doesn't matter how strong they look, how much stamina they may seem to have, everybody is going to fall at some point, experience defeat. Not a bad confession. I'm certainly not believing for it. But I'm enough of a scriptural realist to know that that's the plight of the human condition until we get our glorified bodies. But God says what's important is not whether or not you fail or have a defeat or fall. What's important is your focus, because He says in the next verse, but they that wait upon the Lord. Now guess what the Hebrew word wait means? It means look to, look for, or expect. In other words, what are you being attentive to? If you're not giving attention to the fact of your failure, but if you give your attention to the Lord, then you shall renew your strength, you'll mount up with wings as eagles, you'll run and not be weary, you'll walk and not faint. Amen. You cannot be attentive to the fall. If you're looking at the fall instead of the Lord, you won't rise again. It will create, what does it say here? Faint. A faint heart. Somebody who, because of that defeat or that failure, doesn't have the boldness or courage to step out again. It'll create a faint heart, and we don't have the time now, but it's also responsible for a fearful heart. Because of the failure, the negative consequence you once experienced, your focus upon it will generate fear of a recurrence and you won't step out again. So as we see, the second thing about your past that you cannot be attentive to are your failures and past defeats. The third thing about your past that you can't be attentive to are the sins and failures of others. Now you could say amen to that. Look at Mark 11. I mean, we get excited about not thinking about our sins and failures, but well, you know, the sins and failures of others, you mean that's important to me? Yeah. It sure is. Mark 11:25 says, when you stand praying, forgive. Say forgive. Amen. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. It's real easy to say, yeah, I forgave. I forgave them what they did. But you remember the definition of forgiveness. It means to put out of mind. He says, I forgave, I blotted out your transgressions, and I will remember them no more. So when you say you forgive somebody, but you can recount in minute detail the nature of the offense, you haven't forgiven. See this in marriages all the time. Well, I forgave him. You'll never know what he did, but I forgave him. But then, you know, eventually you'll hear about it in minute detail. That's not forgiveness. And you will have, if you refuse to forget, that's what we're talking about, the sins and failures of others, you will hold them in unforgiveness. And eventually, not only will you have an unforgiving heart, the Bible says that will digress even further into a despising heart. This is the root of a despising heart, a failure to forget the sins and the failures of others. You know, Brother Hagin says that, talking about a preacher that had a moral failing, and this was, you know, I don't know, 15 years ago, had a real big impact on the body of Christ. And Brother Hagin was talking about the matter of forgiveness. And he said, well, you think if that preacher got on his knees and asked God's forgiveness, that God forgave him? Well, the answer is obviously yes. And he said, well, do you think God pulled his credentials and pulled the calling and the gifting that had equipped him to pastor? No, because the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Why do ministers that fall usually not get in the ministry again? They're out of the ministry. Not because God doesn't forgive. People don't forget. And the Lord, and what the cost is, you know, the cost is a gift provided to the body of Christ is no longer usable because somebody won't forget their sin or their failing. Now, let's reduce this to out of the ministry, just to our regular relationships. God has gifted every believer in the body. And those gifts are meant to be gateways to the anointing of God in your life. If you need some Holy Ghost anointed exhortation, He'll send somebody by to encourage you, exhort you. And it won't be a preacher. It won't be Brother Copeland or Brother Hagin. It'll be somebody that is gifted, anointed to do that thing. But if you have refused to forget their sins and failings, then that gift won't operate in your life because you have to hold it in high esteem, according to the Word, to tap into the anointing that would flow through it. So I want you to see matters of forgiveness or forgetting the sins and failures of others as being reasons that the anointing of God is closed off to you through many, many channels that might otherwise have been open. Again, you know, I'm putting a lot of stuff out that's really important. I'm believing that you're going to embrace it. Again, we cannot focus our attention on the sins and failures of others. It's tempting to do that because when we do, it seems to minimize our own sin and failure. It makes us look better in our own eyes when we focus on somebody else's big problem. But God says it is deadly for you to do that. It'll create an unforgiving heart, a resentful heart, a bitter heart, and ultimately a despising heart. And you look up in the Word what God says about a despising heart. You talk about something that will corrupt the issues of your life. So the first thing about your past, you forget your own sin and failure. The second thing about your past, you forget your sin and disobedience. Second thing is your failure and defeat. The third thing you forget is the sin and failure of others. The fourth thing you forget about your past are your own successes. Now underline own, your own successes. The one thing God does tell us to remember about our past are our successes in God. In Hebrews 10:32, I believe it is, we're not going to turn there, but he talks about remembering the former days in which we endured a great fight of affliction. In other words, in God we wrought a victory. Or we realized a victory in the Lord. But don't focus on things that really you count as your own success. And I'll tell you how to mark the difference. Because sometimes it's not easy to see. If you go back and read the account of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, you remember what it says about those folks? It says they, first of all, attempted to build a tower to heaven. Now, what's that reminiscent of? You remember Lucifer got lifted up in pride, and the first thing he did was make an attempt to ascend to the throne of God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? These people were building a tower to the heavens. And then they said, so we might make a name for ourselves. And this became their focus. A verse later, God said, this thing that they have imagined to do, it had become their focus to make a name for themselves. And if this describes the way you think about some of your past successes, you made a bit of a name for yourself. Oh, you were a football hero in high school, huh? Well, how about that? Head cheerleader or beauty queen? How about that? What are them lines around your eyes? You know, you get old, friend. Those things fade quickly. The guy talking about being the football hero, pot belly out to here, you know? Hey, you focus on these things, what are you doing? You're going to produce a prideful and an arrogant heart. The only thing that matters is what you do with your life today. And those things that you say, you like to think, I did that, you know? I succeeded in that business. I did this. I did that. Whew, it's a dangerous thing. And when success comes, even at the hand of God, you got to be sure you're not interested in creating a name for yourself. You know, I'm thankful for the way I came into ministry. I really am. Because it helps me keep my feet on the ground. God has blessed us with a lot of growth and increase. But I've never had a problem trying to take the credit for that because I remember how I came into this ministry, kicking and screaming and totally unprepared. I've never been to Bible school. I've never had any education, any background for ministry. If that bothers you, just think how it bothered me. Amen. I was so insecure the first several years in ministry. I still feel a little bit of that. It's like, you know, I used to dream, have nightmares about getting lost in the Bible, trying to find a scripture and having to look in the table of contents while I'm preaching to find out where something was. But, you know, the insecurity I felt had the benefit, two benefits. It drove me into the Word, studied probably a lot more than I would have had I gone to school. But the other thing was, it is an ever-present truth to me that God has built the ministry aside from anything that I could do, because I'm not qualified to do anything. And so, you know, it helps me stay small in my own eyes. And whatever we do that generates success, it needs to be that way. Because if you like to think about something as something you did, and you think about those things in your past, which you like to do, it will create a prideful and an arrogant heart. And there are many, many corruptive effects that will have on your experience of life. And so we can see then, you don't focus your attention on things that are past, that have to do with your sin of disobedience, with your failures or defeats, with the sin or failures of others, or with your own successes, but you do give attention to your successes in God. Amen. Amen. Revelation 12:11 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The Greek word translated testimony, or to testify, means to make record, to make a record of, let's see, well, it's a record of evidence. I don't know if you, I'd have to look back there and see again. I forgot. But to testify is to refer to the record of evidence. That's what it is. To refer to the record of evidence. Now, we think that means just to tell somebody else what God's done for you, because that's the evidence we're talking about. The evidence of God's faithfulness to you, the evidence of the truth of His Word working in your life. And if anybody has been saved more than a day, you've got a testimony. If you can't think of anything that is evidence of God's dealing in your life, then you need to get saved, because believe me, you're not. If you're saved, then you know the hand of God in your life at different points in your life, and it's a evidence. It's an evidence to you of the truth of His Word, His faithfulness to perform His Word, that He's always there. He's not leaving you hanging out to dry. It is a record of evidence that the Bible says will give you a confident heart. It's what Hebrews 10:32 says, don't cast away your confidence. In a time of adversity, you need to testify to yourself. You need to recount the record of evidence of God's faithfulness to your life, because it'll give you a confident heart in that time of difficulty. And together with the blood of the Lamb, there is nothing you can't overcome. Amen. But again, it's all a matter of focus. Are you going to focus on the adversity, the challenge, the temporal reality? Are you going to focus on past experiences that maybe haven't been so good? Are you going to focus on those things, or the testimony, the record of evidence of God's faithfulness in times past, together with the blood of Jesus, which will always cause you to be an overcomer? We're talking about life principle, folks. This is the way life works. It's all a matter of what you give your attention to. And you are the one, solely, you alone, are the one that controls what you're attentive to. You can be attentive to the wrong things, generate a hard heart, an unbelieving heart, a reasoning heart, a deceived heart. Generate a condemned heart, a guilty heart, a faint heart, a fearful heart, an unforgiving heart, a despising heart, a prideful heart, an arrogant heart. Or you can be attentive to what God says and generate a confident, overcoming heart. It's all up to us what we focus our attention upon.
For the continuation of this series, please move to the next CD.